When your life depends on it, when everything is on the line, you've got to get real about addiction treatment. Only Caron offers 65 years of medical expertise in evidence-based treatment with real, proven results. A recent independent study showed that 94% of Caron patients were still in recovery 90 days post-treatment. So if you're ready for something real, visit caron.org/real today. Caron. Real results. Real care. Real about recovery.
Jeep Freedom Days are here, where right now, well-qualified returning FCA lessees get a low-mileage lease on the 2022 Grand Cherokee WK Laredo E4x4 for $369 a month for 36 months with $3,799 due at signing. Tax, title, license extra. No security deposit required. Call 1-888-925-JEEP for details. Requires dealer contribution, a lease to Chrysler Capital. Lessee is responsible for termination fees. Current lease must end by 7/3/23. Extra charge for miles over 30,000. Residency restrictions apply. Take delivery by 7/5/22. Jeep is a registered trademark.
Welcome to a special edition of Cannabis Hour. Y'all have been watching for an hour. We appreciate you staying with us. Honestly, though, this is a really cool addition to what we're already chatting about today, with a left turn with a really cool company. But Patrick, maybe a little insight as to who we're talking to today.
Yes, absolutely. And I also just want to give a shout out to your introduction of the show. That was very exciting. It sounded like it wasn't the Walter Cronkite version. It was kind of like the E! News version, like special edition, you know? So
breaking news. I'm Wolf Blitzer. That's always breaking news.
Yes. Yes. Wolf Blitzer. You've got the little goatee going.
I'm working on it. I got to get the white hair going though. But yeah. You know, we want to keep it exciting here. Cannabis is exciting, right?
Cannabis
we have
is
an exciting,
exciting
company. This is not Cannabis Hour though, if you don't have the Lane brothers ragging on each other. So true.
So
it's
true.
Just part of the introduction. I hope everybody's keeping an eye on the market still. I mean, always. I don't know how you couldn't right now, but I mean, the money's still moving, y'all. Planet 13, Sundial, High Tide, all out with some news that you should check into. Past that, though, you know, I'm ready for this cool interview. I think this is another cool, we'll say, corner of cannabis that is very popular, some very successful companies, and this is just one of them.
Absolutely. So let's get rolling. And as we bring him over, we've got Jeff Fallows, who's the president at the Valens Company. And I'll let Jeff correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe the ticker is VLNS on the TSX.
Correct.
Is that right, Jeff?
It is, correct.
Awesome. So Valens is a really cool company. They've been an OG in the space. Why don't we just get started there? So Jeff, we have a pretty diverse audience that listens to this show, a lot of retail investors, some industry professionals, but I'm certain that there are folks watching who may not know the Valens Company and everything that you guys have done and are doing in the space. So I wonder if you could give us just a quick overview of what you guys are up to.
Sure. And thanks for having me here today. The Valens Company, put quite simply, the objective of our company is to bring the benefits of cannabis to the world. We believe that the best way to do that is to focus on the areas of the value chain that start after the flower is grown. So the extraction, the distillation, isolation, formulation, and ultimate manufacturing of cannabinoids end-to-end products. Basically, the derivatives, oil and derivative products. We like this area of the value chain, number one, because it allows us to leverage our expertise and our in-house IP. And number two, because it allows us to customize a user experience. And in that customization of that user experience, we can really differentiate ourselves as a company with longer term competitive advantage. So basically everything after the flower is grown.
Very cool.
Can any operator utilize your services? I'm assuming there's probably a mix of you helping those operators and maybe a white label aspect to it as well, correct?
Absolutely. So we work with licensed producers, those who are licensed to hold and carry and sell cannabis. But we also work with brand houses who just simply want to put a cannabis product on the market with their brand on it. We can leverage our sales license to do that as well. So we can cater to whether or not you have a license or don't have a license from your business plan perspective.
You've got some pretty cool background, Jeff. I just want to dive into that for a second. You know, you come from the capital markets world, right? From AltaCorp and CIBC and some of these other institutions. What's it been like coming into the cannabis space? And also just a quick look ahead to 2021 and sort of where we are now, as opposed to this industry, let's say in, you know, 2018 even, right? With those crazy high valuations and some really good things happening and some really bad things happening, right? What's it been like in your experience jumping into this market?
Sure. So you're right. I came from the investment banking world, but 10 years previous to coming into the cannabis sector, I was actually focused almost exclusively on the cannabis space. So I literally grew up in the cannabis sector as all the new companies were formed and raising them capital, knowing the management teams, interpreting the business plans. So I've been around the industry for quite some time. And I'd say the major difference between over the last several years and as I look into 2021, 2022, especially, is it moves from selling the idea and the dream of cannabis, which was the early days, you know, this going to be this massive market. Finally, the general population gets access to cannabis and the benefits of cannabis. You know, that was the first couple of years of the sector. And you saw lots of, you know, big valuations and big dreams and big goals. But as we round the corner here into 2021 and go into 2022, it's really about execution and it's really about business plans and it's really about driving shareholder value. So, you know, the days of the dreams are gone and it's now about who can deliver a return for shareholders.
Yeah, absolutely. Very well put.
You all have some very interesting news, Jeff. Made a recent acquisition. Can you tell us about that company you acquired, maybe your potential reasoning behind that?
Sure. So when we looked at our platform and we were looking at our rollout from a Valens perspective, we decided to focus on, in the near term, 2.0 products, which included, you know, tinctures, beverages, vape pens. That was our focus for the first rollout. But our view always was that we needed to have a full platform of capabilities, a full suite of technical capabilities to bring all the different form factors to market. So what that meant was we had our eye on edibles manufacturing. We weren't sure as we entered 2020 or last year whether we were going to, you know, build that in-house because we do have some team and experience in-house in doing so, or whether we were going to, you know, partner or use third party or even make an acquisition. But as the course of 2020 went on and we looked at how the market was evolving and we did a lot more work into, you know, what it actually takes to have a, you know, a leading edibles platform, you know, two concepts became very, very clear. You know, the first was number one, it's just as much of an art as it is a science. You know, much like we say about extraction, you can't just buy a machine, turn it on and print out or pump out quality product. There is a real art about formulation and process and timing that goes into every product that they make. So the bottom line after our review of the marketplace was, you know, it was going to be a highly specialized platform that we needed, and it wasn't going to be as simple as just putting together a couple of machines to start putting out product.
That's very interesting, Jeff. I have a quick kind of follow-up to that. I noticed you all have in partnership conducted a Canadian consumer report touching on the trends of consumption and what the popular products are. A, did that play a part into this acquisition, you know, what you were looking for in a company? And B, does that affect any further the Valens company's, I would say, initiatives moving into 2021?
So I think the short answer to that is yes. You know, we believe when we looked at the marketplace, the developing trend, and really the type of company that we wanted to be, and again, not just a company that had cannabis products that it was selling, but a company that had unique products that were giving unique experiences to the consumer. With that mindset, you know, that's certainly one of the reasons that led us to LYF and the team there, because of their ability to do just that. We saw some, you know, very, very unique formulas, very, very unique product ideas, you know, and a very broad skill set that they bring to the table. So 100%, if we're going to be relevant and we're going to be able to provide the type of products that, you know, people become accustomed to Valens providing, we needed that in the platform.
That's really interesting to me. I mean, when you look at LYF, and again, that's the name of the company for those tuning in, LYF Foods, I believe, you know, you've got the cannabis 2.0 products, you've got the move into 3.0 products and sort of the next part or wave, let's say, of what these consumers are going to be looking for. It definitely seems like a choice was made to continue expansion into what these consumers are looking for, right? I think that's what you just alluded to. So, you know, that being said, Jeff, I know that you can't comment on stuff that's, you know, anything that's not public, but, you know, are there other areas of the product portfolio that you guys would be looking to increase or gain more market share with?
So, absolutely. So with our platform now and with the Life Food Technologies acquisition and our topicals platform, which we believe will also providing that unique user experience Once that comes online later this year, we believe we'll have a full suite of capabilities to produce a number of different products that will fit into various categories, some of which we already talked about, whether it's, you know, you're calling them 2.0 or the more customized experiences that, you know, are deemed more 3.0 and into different market sets. I think you're going to see as the market has evolved, it's evolved from simply a cannabis market to now you're starting to see a whole lot more market segments developing. You're going to see health and wellness. You're going to see lifestyle. You're going to see, of course, the cannabis or the experienced cannabis user. You're going to see a number of those types of market develop, and each of those markets are going to require specialized products. So absolutely, you need a breadth of capabilities to be able to satisfy each of those market segments. And that, we believe, the life capabilities that it brings to us allows us to play in each of those market segments.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
I had another question, but regardless, let's move on as well to another aspect of some great news. You guys are full of news right now, Jeff. So you recently announced a bot deal. So we were talking about the money still flowing or backflowing for the past few weeks of this year, but it was a 40 million bot deal. A, can you give us a little insight as to what that means for you all and what is this for looking ahead?
Absolutely. So the course of 2020 in the midst of COVID and all the challenges that it brought, particularly to the cannabis market, was really a year for us about beefing up the infrastructure, proving your processes, bringing new products to market, getting that whole commercialization process down, which I think is, you know, one of the most misunderstood areas of the sector right now in terms of doing that with, you know, precision, quality, and consistency. But as we got all that stuff in place, we as a management team sat down and said, you know, we're ready to roll now. So let's look at how we can get more aggressive. Let's look at, as all this market's developing and the valuations are coming down and certain parties are starting to struggle, from a Valens perspective, what do we want? What is the ideal strategic scenario? What kind of company do we want to be, and how do we need to get there? So the first thing you saw is the Life acquisition. The second thing you'll see is us now going to the market and raising $40 million to give us the flexibility to start to pursue those opportunities that we are seeing and we're already seeing materialize in front of us. Now, you know, admittedly, from a market perspective, there will be some people that would look at our share price and say, you know, $40 million at that share price, you know, why are you out raising money in that context? Well, I always have two comments to say. Firstly, as a management team and as the Valens company, our return on invested capital is among the top in the sector. So every time we bring in a shareholder dollar, we put it to good use and drive additional return. So that would be the first thing. So markets should feel comfortable that $40 million has a purpose and will be used well. And then secondly, you know, as we're looking at, you know, particularly the U.S. market and the change down there in terms of the at the top of the house there and sort of what that means from a cannabis sector overall, we're now starting to see some very interesting opportunities for Valens to move into that market where we, you know, historically or even at the early part of 2020, we didn't believe was an opportunity and we were focusing on other international markets. So with that near-term opportunity and with other opportunities brewing, it made no sense from our shareholders' perspective to not have the capital on our balance sheet at our disposal so we can start to bring in those opportunities. And it's our belief fundamentally, by the time we're done deploying that capital, our shareholders are going to be very happy and we'll not even be thinking about that the share price we issued at.
Go ahead, Elliot.
I just want a quick follow-up there. You know, you mentioned, I think, probably outside of capitals and raisings, the next name of the game, which is consistency right now and becoming that CPG mindset, you know, whether the company's CPG or not. But, you know, and I don't just mean necessarily consistency in product, but I'm curious if you could give a little insight as to what Valens is doing, not only within the white labeling aspect, but for those companies you work with in helping consumers understand the quality of the products that come from you guys. Because obviously Valens is doing it the right way. So I'm curious if you all have taken steps or initiatives within Valens to help consumers understand that they are consuming a quality product as opposed to maybe the 20,000 other products out there that maybe haven't been tested as rigorously.
Sure. So that's obviously, our hope and our goal as a company that, you know, people are not only willing to, you know, pay for that quality, but they're willing to pay for that quality on a consistent basis. So if you look at the consumer in the Canadian market over the last couple of years, it's really been a try everything market. There's so many LPs and there's so many products and there's so many things out there. You know, it was a very challenging environment to build a brand, and it was a very challenging environment for consumers to understand what products they were trying. So what we've seen as we got through 2020, and as we started to have more products on the market, we've started to see our market share build and consumers coming back more and more and more to our products, which are giving them that better experience at market. That goes across our brand portfolio, that goes across our LPs and other partners that are using us. We're getting words from retailers that when the product listings come out from the provinces in the month, that they're scanning the books and scanning the lists for Valens products. So quality, while we can go out there and sing to the rooftops and say, you know, Valens quality, trust us, we're the only ones with in-house testing, we're the only ones, you know, that are working in partnership with Thermo Fisher, you know, all those things, it's really going to be and the continual trial and usage by the consumer to earn that trust. And so that's what we're focused on. And we're seeing those efforts pay off where people are taking two products, similar price, one done by Valens, one done by somebody else, and saying, wow, this Valens one is better. I'm going to buy again next time.
That's a cool point.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, and so that leads me to my next question for you, Jeff. And you know, I think this is such an exciting time, especially for you investors that are watching, right? Look at the wind up here, and you're seeing it across the market. You're seeing it in some of these other acquisitions, and the M&A activity is obviously through the roof in this industry. But you see a $40 million deal, as Jeff just alluded to, it's going to be put to good use, right? So let's dive into that, Jeff. When it comes to, you know, this kind of obviously research-driven, I'm sure, decision to go and raise capital to actually use it, one might even say clandestine idea, right? What acquisitions are next in the near or short term? How will you look to expand that market share that you guys have clearly built very well so far, right? What's next for you guys?
Yep. So let's do that by market. So in the Canadian market, our infrastructure with our K2 facility coming online and ramping up very quickly, our infrastructure in Canada and with our beverage facility well underway and ready to be completed in the next couple months here, our Canadian infrastructure is largely set. We feel very comfortable about the market opportunity in Canada and the assets we have with which to achieve market share and realize on the opportunity there. So that means international. And as we looked internationally, there's a couple of opportunities that we and ongoing conversations, while I can't specifically give you feedback on you know, what targets that we're looking at, what I can say is, you know, interesting areas for us are in the US, where we see, you know, a Valens platform, particularly as the FDA comes in and starts putting rules and procedures and standards in place for the quality production of cannabis, what rules that don't currently exist, and things like labeling requirements, et cetera. As that comes out, who is better positioned than the Valens platform or the Valens opportunity in that context of that type of market? We believe there will be a transition to that type of quality and consistency of output from the participants in the US market. And we think that that's a real opportunity for us there. And also internationally, as we look at our expansion in Australia, we like a lot our partner down there. We like what they're doing. They're delivering on our relationship as we had hoped and better than we had hoped in our conversations. And there's potentially a couple of opportunities for us to deploy a little bit more capital there for maximum return in terms of increase in volumes and revenues and cash flows, you know, all the typical financial metrics that, you know, have thus far eluded the cannabis sector, but we see, you know, coming to us in spades here in the relatively short period of time.
Yeah, so cool. So cool.
Yeah, I'd be remiss to not ask you about this since we have kind of a prolific Canadian company with us. Has the illicit market changed any? I mean, we touched on it end of last year with another company and the competition it provides to, you know, legal cannabis operations in Canada. But I'm curious, it seems like you guys are doing very well. Have you been able to sidestep the challenges that the illicit market has offered, if you will?
I think that's it's an impact on everyone in the market. Look, I feel that from an infrastructure and a cost profile perspective, you know, we as operators in the Canadian market needed to get, you know, our ship in shape. We needed to get our cost structure down. We needed to get our efficiencies up, and we needed to be able to produce product at price points that consumers could appreciate relative to the sort of the black market options that are available. From a Valens perspective, we believe we have the lowest cost infrastructure out there for oil-based or derivative products, you know, second to none in the Canadian market. And I'm sure you've seen our press release from several weeks ago related to us repositioning our inventory, where we now believe, based on our buying power and our access to the market, that we now have matched our low-cost physical infrastructure with an ability to bring in our biomass and other inputs at prices that are as competitive as anybody else in the industry. And we believe that combination will be incredibly hard to beat. So with that in place, we believe we're better positioned to offer competing products to the black market. We believe we're already out there launching several products with partners to lower the price point and to be out there at a competitive point where if you have to choose now between, you know, a tested and a proven and a consistent and an innovative product, you know, in a dispensary route versus on the black market, that we're going to be able to pull you into the dispensary because of those product forms and all the work that went into producing it.
No, that's awesome. So I have just one last question for you, Jeff, and it relates to timing, right? I would imagine anybody watching, especially the investors watching, can glean from this conversation that this is a company poised to jump. Right? There will be news coming. There will be activity coming. I don't think Jeff and the team at Valens would have raised that $40 million if they weren't going to do something with it. So Jeff, you mentioned briefly the US market and the opportunities that you guys are looking at here. Remind me and also the audience, what precipitates that decision from becoming reality, right? Is it the FDA rules? Is it federal legalization? What are we waiting on before you guys can come and play in this market more?
Sure. So given our exchange listing, you know, until there's a schedule change, you know, any sort of access to THC product will not be on our radar. It will be a CBD oriented market play with the capability of providing us two things. Number one, an ability to leverage or backward integrate into our core capabilities as we've demonstrated in the Canadian market. So I think that's a key thing for us. And then secondly is to then expand or leverage that into, you know, a broader product portfolio and larger market distribution. So those would be the two things that we're looking for, especially when THC comes online. So get in, establish our footprint, start to establish the Valens dominance, and then when the THC opportunity arises, expand into that with our product forms, which, by the way, if we think about the Life Food Technologies acquisition, that's transportable knowledge. Mm. That's one of the key reasons around why we like this team and why we like this model, because that is now our internal knowledge and we can bring that wherever we go.
Awesome. Well, Jeff Fallows, thank you very much for joining us. This has been phenomenal. I hope the audience has gotten a lot out of this, because obviously I think that there's some real, real interesting things happening in this market. I think Valens is definitely going to be leading the charge in more ways than one. So thanks. Mm-hmm. Thanks again.
Yeah. Thank you, Jeff.
Well, guys, and I appreciate it. And if I could leave with your audience sort of with one thought, you know, from a Valens platform, as I said, the first two steps of our strategic plan for 2021 are now in the books. Expect to see us but as we leave 2021, a completely different company than when we entered 2021. We have aggressive plans and we've only just begun.
I love hearing that.
That's a nice last thought there, Jeff.
I love that. And you can't say that to a media organization, Jeff. Come on. We want the full story. All right. Well, we'll wait with bated breath, my friend, to hear more from you. Thank you. Thank you again.
Okay. I appreciate it, guys. Thanks so much.
Thanks,
Jeff. All right. Take care, Jeff.
Thanks again, everybody. Honestly, I hope this was a very insightful day of cannabis discussions. Hopefully more cannabis content coming your way soon. Please be aware of that. And as always, you can catch your regular Lane Brother charades right here every Thursday at 4 when Patrick decides to join me.
Every once in a while, I got to come in and, you know, mess stuff up a little bit. So thanks for having me.
All right, y'all. Be well. We'll see you next week.
Be well.
Yeah, I was a heavy drinker, but I didn't recognize what the people closest to me recognized. I ended up laying flatlined on a hospital operating table. Somehow the surgeons brought me back to life.
When your life depends on it, there's only one place you can turn. Karen. A recent independent study showed that 94% of Karen patients were still in recovery 90 days post-treatment. Visit caron.org/real. Karen. Real results, real care, real about recovery.
Jeep Freedom Days are here, where right now, well-qualified returning FCA lessees get a low-mileage lease on the 2022 Grand Cherokee WK Laredo E4x4 for $369 a month for 36 months with $3,799 due at signing. Tax, title, license extra. No security deposit required. Call 1-888-925-JEEP for details. Requires dealer contribution, a lease to Chrysler Capital. Lessee is responsible for termination fees. Current lease must end by 7/3/23. Extra charge for miles over 30,000. Residency restrictions apply. Take delivery by 7/5/22. Jeep is a registered trademark.